President Obama's speech to the nation on September 10th laid out his plan to escalate U.S. military intervention in a new war to degrade and eventually destroy the Islamic State, or ISIS, which has taken control over large swaths of territory in both Syria and northern Iraq. The president stated that while his new campaign against ISIS will not include the deployment of U.S. ground forces into the conflict, it will enlist an international coalition to support Iraqi soldiers and perhaps troops from other allied nations. Mr. Obama said U.S. airstrikes that had already been targeting ISIS militants in Iraq will be expanded to include targets inside Syria. While most public opinion polls find that voters view ISIS as a major threat and support expanded U.S. military action to confront the radical Sunni group, Americans still strongly oppose sending U.S. ground troops into a new war. But in testimony before the Senate Armed Services Committee on September 16th, General Martin E. Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said that he would recommend deploying U.S. combat forces into the campaign against ISIS if the current strategy of airstrikes failed. After a September 15th summit meeting in Paris, Secretary of State John Kerry announced that more than two dozen nations pledged unspecified support for the campaign to stop the advance of the Islamic State, which the CIA estimates has between 20 and 31,000 fighters in Iraq and Syria. Your reporter spoke with Michael McPherson, interim executive director with Veterans for Peace, a group which opposes a new war in Iraq and advocates a six-point plan that calls for diplomacy to be the number one priority and to include Iran as a partner to help pressure the Iraqi government to be more inclusive of Sunni leaders. Here, McPherson, an Army veteran of the 1990-91 Desert Shield campaign in Iraq, discusses his view that a new American-led war in Iraq and Syria will only inflame violence in a region already wracked by ethnic conflict.
Generally, we're disappointed, but not surprised. We're disappointed because the U.S. will continue to be the greatest purveyor of violence on the earth, as Dr. King said in 1967. It will be the continuation of a failed policy of war making in the Middle East. It's basically a gamble that this war policy will work this time. It continues to waste financial resources, which could be directed towards human needs and support our economy that really needs help. And it for sure means that regardless of what they're saying, that service members can be killed or probably will be because they can be shot down. And certainly innocent Iraqis, innocent Syrians, and disproportionately, women and children will be impacted and killed by war. These things are pretty much guaranteed. So we're basically continuing the same policy that we've had for 13 years, but supposedly without boots on the ground, which we know that close to 2,000 people are actually in Iraq that we know about. And then there's certainly other forces that are there and in Syria, too, more than likely, because if I were in charge and if I were playing this game, I would do that. And we're not surprised simply because it never seems like any of our political leaders are looking for solutions that don't include war. It seems like every problem that the U.S. faces where there's an international conflict is either going to war or the threat of using force. So we're not surprised at all. But what's really sad about it is if you look at an objective outcome that they claim, when I say they being the political leaders, claim that they want, which is to decrease terrorism, the State Department put out a report that says terrorism around the world has increased in 2013 by 43%. So you would think that if the most objective number of the outcome you're looking for has increased instead of decreased after 13 years of war, that other alternatives would be, you know, looked at. But no. So it's clear that war is the path that they always seek.
Michael, there are many people in the country who are talking about the existential threat that ISIL presents to the region and the world. They point to the group's deliberate tactic of slaughtering innocents, forced religious conversions, kidnapping and trafficking of women captives. They say that you really cannot use diplomacy or negotiations with such a murderous and brutal group, and that unfortunately military intervention here is the only conceivable way that you can rout this group from the territory they've captured.
Well, you know, I understand that. I mean, it's kind of like I've talked to people about the Klan here in the United States. I mean, you just couldn't go in and talk to the Klan and expect them to all of a sudden have respect for people of color and not believe in white supremacy. So certainly that makes sense. The question's not so much that. I think the question is, what role does the United States of America have in confronting ISIL? And in whatever role the United States government plays, it should not play a role that is going to strengthen ISIL and give people more reason to want to join ISIL, or if not join ISIL, to be an ally with ISIL, like the Sunni leadership is right now in Iraq. Because my understanding is that they don't necessarily believe in ISIL's ideology, but it's the dynamics of the politics internally in Iraq. So for us to think that bombing Sunnis and not helping that relationship that needs to be made better, that people not feel disenfranchised in Iraq, that's the key. And our continuing to put more weapons in there and to intervene on the side of the Shia and the Kurds is not going to be helpful to mending the fences that need to be mended between the Sunnis and the Shia in Iraq.
One issue I wanted to close off with is this. Do you believe President Obama should go to Congress to get authorization for what he's proposed in expanding this new war against ISIL? Some administration officials have come forward to say that the use of the 2002 Authorization for the Use of Military Force, known as AUMF, is all that they really need to commit U.S. forces in this new war against ISIS.
Well, of course, it's a double-edged sword in some way for us as peace activists, because then does it make it okay because we've gone to Congress and he's got the stamp of approval from Congress to go ahead and invade Syria, for example, or whatever the decisions are made. And I would say no, it wouldn't make it okay. However, of course, we want to curtail the president's ability to conduct military operations wherever he or she sees fit. So it is best, because Congress is supposed to be the body that declares war. And we seldom actually had Congress declare war, although we have done military operations on dozens. In fact, like 200 occasions, and I don't know if Congress maybe declared war five times or something of that nature. So, yes, we do want there to be a debate, and at least if there's a debate, it gives organizations like ours and people across the country who disagree with this the ability to contact their congressperson and be engaged in the debate, whereas if the president just has the power to do whatever he or she wants to, you know, there's no debate, and the president can take us into any war. So, yes, we do need the debate, and Congress needs to act.
That was Michael McPherson, Interim Executive Director of Veterans for Peace. Find more perspectives on the escalating conflict in Iraq and Syria by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.